You are tuned in to the Red Pill Hardcore Double Dosage After Show. Double Dosage After Show. After Show. After Show.
After Show.
After Show.
Yes. All right. Thank you guys for coming into the after show here. I am your host, and we have Dr. Kelly here with us still.
I'm right here up in the rafters.
Okay. Well, I want to talk about something that I want to do a little showcase piece here and expose something that was, well, we've been trying to expose for some time, but things have been put in our way, and, you know, of course, there's some censorship. There was a article put up by, of course, the owner of this media, Anthony Thomas, yours truly, who put up on Facebook the 28 signs of a psychopath, and he did a breakdown of each and every sign and the psychological campaign behind each sign after each trait and how it relates to the NSA's artificial intelligence that is harassing a lot of people covertly around the world. Now, that article got taken down immediately on Facebook. Immediately. There's really no reason to, other than, of course, you've got the Facebook security staff, which are mostly federal agents anyhow, who are there to monitor, suppress the truth. It was so terrible that it got taken down. So I'm going to do a service here, and I don't have that exact article, but I have something similar here for us to listen to, and we're going to listen to it, and I'm going to break it down as far as how it is used or how it relates to a targeted individual. So, Mike, if you can play that narcissism piece, and we'll break it down.
What each of us looks for in our significant personal relationships will differ from person to person. If we value reflection, personal growth, and independent thought, we'll want our relationships to support those things. Games and creative pursuits might be important features, giving us an outlet for the playful, inventive parts of our nature. Something we might consider a relationship essential is the ability to just relax and be our authentic selves. We might also expect a healthy sense of security, so there's no fear that an innocent slip could land us in trouble, or that accidents and misunderstandings will get blown out of scale. Whatever positive, affirming features you look for in a relationship, you can forget all about them when malignant narcissists maneuver themselves into your life. Personal growth, independent thought, creativity, and authenticity will all get shoved into storage, leaving you in a rigid, stagnant environment. Security will evaporate as you begin to realize one wrong step could do you serious damage. To malignant narcissists, your value begins and ends with your ability to serve them. Dismissing your needs is just the start. Soon the mind games begin.
Okay, let's start right there. Okay, so as I have stated on the show, when concerning targeted individuals, the number one thing the shadow government, the NSA, does when targeting a person, they target your resources. That could be anything. That could be, you know, not just your job, not just screwing with your internet service, not just messing with your mail, not just stopping you from getting any paperwork that you need, dealing with, you know, these bureaucrats within the government. It's not just, you know, there's so many things that they do to stand in the way of your progress when they target you. So anything that can happen as far as getting people to turn against you, make you lose your job, your home, your kids, they'll do it. They have their InfraGuard agents, operatives everywhere. They do that. But the majority of what they end up taking away from you is actually done via through the target individual themselves as the voice to skull technology that they have, which is really a BCI, AI, brain computer interface, by a signal talking to a chattering AI. Now, this AI is a psychopath. Whether it's one voice, two voices, or three voices, they will sometimes layer them, or have them say different things. And it's really sickening. You ever see like a really spoiled child that, like a rich spoiled child throwing a tantrum? You know, this child has never been reprimanded, has never been even chastised, let alone spanked, and gets everything he wants. Well, imagine that inside of your head 24/7, your every waking moment. It does not care about you. The only thing it cares about is control. Okay? Let's continue that clip, please.
Dismissing your needs is just the start. Soon the mind games begin. Like stepping into an Escher print, you'll find yourself completely disorientated by the impossible angles of the narcissist's world, where the only predictable feature is unpredictability. Not only is there no telling where you'll end up when you go through a door, there's no telling what laws will apply when you get there. Down might now mean up, or sideways. With each vertigo-inducing flip, your brain tries to find some underlying order. And when you think you might have found it, the ground falls from under you. Narcissists use a range of mind games to knock targets off balance, including love bombing, gaslighting, and various forms of emotional blackmail. I want to explore a particularly poisonous mind game called the double bind, which puts people in no-win situations. I'll be looking at examples of it in action and some different ways of dealing with it.
Okay. Now let me jump in on that. The double bind. To be targeted in this covert manner, which the NSA does, yeah, it's considered a double bind situation. Because you're damned if you do, and you're damned if you don't. It's not a situation of where you can actually satisfy them, but you are going to either be driven crazy from trying to satisfy them and their stupid, impossible, humiliating, and imprisoning request, or you will be harassed more and in your attempt to run away from or hide from the situation, because the scalar energy with the quantum tagging, okay, your brain, RFID chip with scalar energy that goes through anything, any walls, any lead, any tin foil, you cannot run from it. So you are in a double bind situation. I do know, if you do something that they want you to do, And they'll say, all we want you to do is this. Then we'll leave you alone. Once you do that, there's a new request. All we want you to do is to do this. And you'll do that. And it goes on and on and on till you snap. Once you come to that realization, you're going to be a robot by the end of this thing, or you're going to kill yourself. Well, in a lot of cases, that's where these mass shooters come from. Again, I've done a documentary on this. Please check it out. It's called Know Their Killers. So that is the double bind. You can't run away from it. You can't. You simply can't. Now, I am fortunate enough to have the intelligence that I have to actually bend these people and to fight back. It's because I fight back. And I know how to fight back. Yeah, some people try to fight back, but they're still in that double bind situation. Because if you tell somebody what you're going through, oh, he's crazy. Oh, he's absolutely nuts. People, you're going to end up in an asylum somewhere. You're going to end up losing your job. You're going to end up homeless. You lose all your friends, family. Because as I said, the taking away your resources, they'll actually enact through you, through what you do about the situation. Now, it's either that, or you keep it to yourself, and you're going to be one miserable human being with these, because they don't stop. I'm probably one of a handful of people to come to a point where they know, okay, maybe we should let off this guy. Now, that's not all the time. Every once in a blue moon, these idiots will come through because I've acquired a certain resource. I've acquired a certain piece of influence. And it's like, really? You guys want to mess with me now? Maybe I should just use this resource on you right now. And, oh, the silence. Now, there's many targeted individuals asking me, how am I beating this thing? It's like, do what I do. I'm not opposed to competition. I wouldn't consider you competition. Get in the game here. Frank, the show before my show on this network, he's a targeted individual. Okay? He knows this just as well as I do. So, the double bind. Yeah, this guy got way ahead with some things. But yes, the solutions for that. And in this particular situation for target individuals, that's what worked for me. But I want to see if this guy knows some other situations and maybe can explain this a little bit better than I can. So let's continue on with the clip.
A no-win manipulation could be defined as the act of putting targets in situations where all actions lead to a negative outcome. An example would be what's called a Kafka trap. In Kafka traps, targets are accused, typically of some psychological flaw. When they deny the accusation, their denial is taken as evidence that the accusation is true. The possibility that the accusation is false is invalidly excluded. Targets of Kafka traps are only presented with losing options by their accuser. In fact, in many cases, targets do have positive options. One is to simply ignore their accusers. Another is to expose and mock this fallacious manipulation. With double binds, these options aren't available. A double bind is a very specific kind of no-win manipulation in which targets are presented with conflicting messages, each of which negates the other. In effect, they're told, do X and don't do X. When targets are playful, they might be criticized for never taking anything seriously. Then, when they're serious, they're told to stop being a drag and lighten up. The double message is be serious and don't be serious. Whatever the target chooses, the abuser responds with the other. Double binds occur in relationships where targets feel compelled to figure out what the manipulator wants and provide it. They feel unable to ignore the dilemma presented to them, which is what binds them in. They often feel unable to point out the injustice of the dilemma, because criticism leads to more negative consequences. And they're unable to consult the manipulator to help find a way out. Double binds can be extremely destructive psychologically. Targets of narcissists can tie themselves in knots, trying to work out what the narcissist wants. But all the narcissist actually wants is to make the target fail. Through repeated experiences of failure, targets can end up in a state of learned helplessness, where they feel unable to control or change a situation. Making decisions can become increasingly difficult as targets start habitually questioning their own judgment. As they become more passive and compliant, the narcissist takes control. I took a straw poll among my patrons, asking if they could identify any personal experiences of double binds in their lives. If so, in what areas? Respondents could tick multiple categories. Two-fifths of all respondents reported experiencing this manipulation in personal one-to-one relationships, and half of all respondents encountered it in their family. A quarter of respondents identified double binds in a religious, political, or pseudoscientific ideological group, and a quarter experienced them in other environments, including social circles, personal therapy, and the workplace. In total,
okay,
three-quarters of all
respondents... I like how you said that. Victims got this treatment from people in their families and da 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 da. Then he says, and groups of people in pseudoscience. Now he's talking about the tinfoil hat conspiracy, you know, the CIA microwaving voices called into people's heads. Okay. That's what he's referring to, just to break that down, because it's real. Now, for something like this to appear or to be mentioned in a psychological play like this, it's valid. It's valid. It's a valid issue. It's a valid concern. Okay, that's evidence enough right there. Now, there are no double binds in nature, okay? At least, you know, this whole thing about schizophrenia, of course, you guys know I've studied it. I've studied it extensively, and symptoms don't match. Most targeted individuals, the symptoms will not match. 95% of them will not match. They're either way too old, way too, you know, way too something to have developed whatever natural schizophrenia, and that's just the issue here. People have forgotten the study of the mind. The human psychology has not changed in the last 100,000 years. So when you have these doctors, these psychiatrists, psychologists, coming up with brand new mental diseases, you know it's crap. You know it's a sham. Okay? They're pushing drugs. Okay, for Big Pharma, all right? Pushing drugs for Big Pharma, and they're covering up the real science of neuropsychology with their pseudoscience of regular psychology, something opinion-based, something that cannot be subjective, only objective. They're going to say, oh, well, you have an acute case of da-da-da-da-da-da. And really, a lot of times, it won't mean anything. Oh, yeah, a psychosis of da, 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 da. You know, everybody's got a psychosis. there's some people who are afraid of spiders and people, you know, arachnophobia, acrophobia. And, you know, these phobias, but it's still, it's the same thing. It's all the same. It's all the same. None of this stuff is new. All humanity's fears are not new. But here, in the middle of the century, we have people complaining that the CIA has satellite dishes beaming voices in their heads. There's satellites and cell towers that are beaming voices into their heads. Again, this is not... there's just nothing new in nature. Until there is something new in nature. Okay? The technology did not bring about a change in humanity's thinking. Okay? It didn't bring about, you know, the psychosis didn't create the technology. The technology did create psychosis. Okay? What, I mean, anybody have any records of anybody talking about something in the sky beaming voices into their heads back in the early 1900s? The 1800s? 1700s? Anybody on record having schizophrenia, period, that you know of? I'm telling you, such a rarity. How many whistleblowers are thrown in jail? I'm sorry, the jail at some point, but first thrown into the psych ward. Jail or being disappeared altogether comes later when they won't shut up about it. How many people do you know, you know, told that they're crazy? Well, you know they're not. You know they're not. It's not any coincidence that Trump, with his brand new executive order, which is going to have police assisted by mental health professionals, you know, it's not a coincidence, okay? It's not a coincidence, because the greediness, the oversaturation of the targeting of the public that the NSA is doing, and it's worldwide. The NSA is the head Illuminati agency of the world. They're the head targets of the spy community. All the other agencies bow before their Illuminati-ness. But anyways, they've oversaturated the people. Every 3 in 5 people that go through the mental health system are diagnosed with something akin to a personality disorder or schizophrenia. Again, anyone that knows literature knows, and they're actually even debating whether schizophrenia was even real before this technology came about. It was that much of a rarity. Now, we all of a sudden have satellites, we all of a sudden have radio towers, and now 3/5 of the population is schizophrenic? Please, give me a break. Anybody with half a brain should be able to tell lies from the truth, from the cover-ups to, you know, and all this big pharma, and I just hate how big pharma is behind a lot of this. But let's continue forward with the clip, please.
And half of all respondents encountered it in their family. A quarter of respondents identified double binds in a religious, political, or pseudoscientific ideological group. and a quarter experience them in other environments, including social circles, personal therapy, and the workplace. In total, three-quarters of all respondents reported experiencing double binds, with the remaining respondents registering no awareness of having encountered them. Even acknowledging the limitations of straw polls, this is a very high figure. And it's worth noting the significant prevalence in one-to-one relationships and in families, which we might hope would be win-win environments where people lift each other up. What binds us into double binds comes in many forms. The complex emotional ties found in one-to-one relationships and families can make very strong binding material. So strong that we sometimes snap before they do. So, what do double binds look like? Here are some examples from literature, history, and my own personal life. Robert Graves' novel, I, Claudius, chronicles the rule of Rome's ancient emperors. In his portrait of the delusional, murderous Caligula, he depicts a deadly double-bind manipulation. When Caligula returns home triumphantly after an imaginary war with the god Neptune, he's furious to find there are no cheering crowds to greet him, no flowers on the streets, no fanfares. He threatens to kill the senators who fail to organize any celebrations. The terrified senators point out that Caligula specifically ordered them not to arrange any celebrations. Caligula scolds them for taking him at his word. He wanted them to show their love for him by disobeying him. Graves' Caligula delights in putting his subjects in impossible situations. He berates his senators for celebrating the Battle of Actium, in which his great-grandfather Mark Antony was defeated. But he later jokes that he had the senators both ways, because if they hadn't celebrated the battle, they would have insulted his grandfather, Augustus, who won the battle. Being born into a family headed by a narcissistic mother and a timid father who spent his life appeasing, excusing, and enabling her, double binds of various intensities were part of my early everyday life. One recurring double bind concerned my responses to her constant false accusations. Like many narcissists, she was acutely paranoid. She was convinced everyone, from family members, to doctors, to shop assistants, was out to undermine and belittle her, and she was always telling victory stories, recounting her stinging revenge on some unsuspecting individual for an imagined insult. Because
okay,
of her
stop
paranoia,
right there. Stop right there. Now, who does that sound like? Now, we have a military-industrial complex and these shadow agencies underneath this institution, if you want to call it that. Listen, we paid them to be paranoid. They come up with all the scenarios in which supposedly we as Americans or whatever country you're in would be attacked. We pay them, they are paranoid. So when none of the stuff is going down, they have knowledge of the stuff. And what happens when you have a bored psychopath with virtually unlimited power? Oh, but he's got an oath to protect the people? Yeah, right. That's going out the window. He's going to mess with the people. So just case in point, back to the NSA. They have all these powers. They have all the right in the world to look at everything that you have on your computers and, you know, look at your mail, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Look at your phone calls, et cetera, et cetera. Have they caught any terrorists? No. No. So they have no one to catch. They have no one to catch. So they have to turn this around on you. Let's take a break and we'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Hey gang, Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and the new app, Koshertified, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Koshertified app can make a huge difference for your future.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company, and it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks?
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive! Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. While we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country, here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store, or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
All right. Yeah. Yeah. I like this. I like just getting to the core of the truth. Because, you know, I'll talk about anything. If I know it's the truth, let's talk about it. If I know it's a lie, we'll talk about it some more. But I want to address the paranoia again. So, I mean, yes, these people, so what are they doing? They're not catching any terrorists. They're not stopping any crime. if there's any hacking done, any cyber crime going on, who's going to show up at your door? The FBI, not the NSA. I think people run across more CIA agents than they have NSA agents. Because they're all busy in their nuclear bunkers underneath their headquarters with their mind control program beaming the entire planet. Okay? But anyways, you know, paranoia. Yeah, I'm not paranoid. I know the truth. I mean, paranoia... It's a sense of fear. It just drives from fear. I don't have any fear. I don't. Any of these clowns want to show up to my door, you know, I might as well consider that my time. But I'm going out with a fight. I have no qualms about that. I have no problems with that. If I'm going to hell, I'm taking some with. So, I mean, that I've got no problem with any of that. What I do have a problem with is the fact that they are so cowardly with what they do. And, you know, I'm not going to get back into that rant, but yes, the paranoia. Ahmed over the Middle East doesn't care what you are eating at McDonald's. They don't care. You don't care about what he's doing. Why there's so much conflict internationally? Well, the people at the top have to do their satanic, well, actually, Luciferian rituals of blood sacrifice. It's power. It's power straight to the head when you can tell somebody to do something and they do it. Not just one or two people, but people in mass. It's the most addictive drug in the world. You want to talk about addictive personalities? You want to talk about drug addicts? Talk to that guy who does not have the word no said to him and orders people to die. And that is what this program, this targeted individual thing, is about as well. They're terrible people. I don't have fear. They don't have any fear either. And that's the problem. Fear makes a decent person. Now, I feel as though I am not a decent person. I feel as though I am better than decent because I can do the right thing without that sensation of fear. I feel more power out of doing the right thing. I feel exemplary. I feel unique. I feel like, for lack of a better word, I feel like a superhero. Yeah, all odds are stacked against me, but that's what makes it fun for me. That's what makes it all better for me. I have no fear. Why not jump into the lion's den? I know I'm more skilled. I know I'm more intelligent. I know I'm a better combat specialist. They feel as though that they are so superior to everyone, but just my skill alone is their equal. They've not yet to even come up with the rest of the qualities to challenge me. So why not? But see, they have no fear either. So many of them. So, and it makes them less than decent because of what they're doing to the masses. Victimizing. Yes, out of paranoia. Who knows this? Who knows that? You know, a lot of people get targeted for finding things out. It's kind of how it started with me. Yeah, I found out who the Lumitards were. Next thing you know, they dialed me up. They don't want anybody knowing anything. But anyways, let's go ahead and continue on with the clip.
And she was always telling victory stories, recounting her stinging revenge on some unsuspecting individual for an imagined insult. Because of her paranoia, my brother and I were repeatedly accused of saying, doing, or even just thinking outlandish things we'd never said, done, or thought. She would charge us to tell the truth in front of her Christian God, When we truthfully reported our innocence, she'd triumphantly call us liars. She'd often tell us we were physically turning green with guilt. She had unshakable conviction that she was right. Our no-win choice was to make a false confession and get punished for a non-existent offense, or tell the truth and suffer even more abuse for lying. The double message was be truthful and don't be truthful. Without knowing it, she did teach me something valuable with this double bind. Displays of unshakable conviction don't require the possession of truth. Another kind of double bind happened when she gave up things like chocolate or cigarettes, often as part of a religious observance called Lent, which requires Christians to abstain from some food or luxury for a few weeks. She'd rope us in to help her, instructing us not to let her near those things. When she gave up cigarettes, I caught her lighting up and reminded her she said she wasn't smoking anymore. She scolded me angrily for spoiling her fun, sending the message, don't intervene. So, the next time she lit up in front of me, I said...
Who does that sound like? That couldn't sound like any government entities I know. Yeah, okay. So, yeah, you cannot... Listen, again, I'll say this again. I know I've said this before. If you have money, you come into money, guess what? You're going to be targeted for that money. They're going to send somebody to scam you out of that money or for some black widow to kill you for that money. They're going to send some party people your way, make you party yourself out of that money. Because if you are a knowledgeable person with some money, you're in danger. So they're going to do their best to screw you out of your money. People who gain any kind of power that they're not supposed to, yeah, same thing. They're going to find a way to ruin you. Because you especially can't have any more money or power than they can. Oh boy, I would hate to know a salary of a low-level NSA employee. But this is the whole punishment thing right there, you know? Caught doing something. The scolding. Didn't Snowden tell us about the emails and the phone calls? The scolding, the hunt. They wanted his blood. Because they're doing something they're not supposed to be doing. But they are beyond reproach. They feel that way. Even though they're not. So yeah, let's continue on with the clip, please.
Sending the message, don't intervene. So, the next time she lit up in front of me, I said nothing. She then scolded me for showing no support, sending the message, intervene. When she gave up chocolate for Lent, I happened to eat a chocolate bar from the kitchen cupboard. Later that day, she asked where the chocolate was. When I said I'd eaten it, she flipped into a rage, slamming cupboard doors and drawers and shouting that she'd planned to eat it herself in secret. So much for Lent. As punishment for depriving her, I was forbidden all food treats for several days. In our early teens, when my brother and I left our parents' religion, the relentless abuse we endured for that finally pushed us to start forcefully standing our ground. We were fully prepared for an escalation, but she backed off and finally started exercising some self-control. But her apparent improvement was an illusion. Behind the scenes, she just got worse. Which leads me to my last personal example, an especially venomous breed of double bind, a double bind by proxy, played out through someone else. A couple of years ago, the doctors told my father his cancer had returned. This time, it was terminal. My brother lived nearby and nursed him morning and night. I lived far away, but visited frequently. On what turned out to be my last visit, I stayed down for a couple of days, lodging at a nearby hotel. It felt like we had a wonderful time, full of laughter. After saying goodbye, I lingered outside the front door, chatting with my brother. Suddenly, we heard her raging at full volume. It was shocking. I later learned this was a regular routine. During visits, she'd store up a list of imagined insults, then explode when they were alone. The most nauseating part was hearing my terminally ill father's exhausted voice trying to appease her anger. I suspended visits for a while and started writing him long weekly letters. They were painful to write, but I kept them upbeat. But after a few letters, he revealed in a phone call that every time my letters arrived, she flew into a jealous rage. She was resentful of the intimacy and affection in my words. In a unique moment of candor, he said, "Your mother's a very sick woman." It was the only time I ever heard him acknowledge her disorder. So, instead of lifting his spirits, my letters had become a source of dread for him. I asked him if he wanted me to continue writing. The awkward silence that followed said everything. Her rages weren't just antagonistic now. They were deadly, leaving him physically depleted when he needed every ounce of strength. A few days later, we had what would be our last phone call. We'd been chatting for a while when he paused and sheepishly asked if I wanted to send a message of love to her. When I reminded him of the bad blood he knew existed between us, he pretended not to know what I was talking about and gave a panicky speech about how everything was fine. I realized she was listening in, and I knew what would follow when he ended the call. I now realized all contact with him risked exposing him to the lethal stress of her rages. I also knew if I confronted her, it would only rebound on him when they were alone. I suspended contact while I considered the situation. She then started telling people I was shunning my dying father.
Okay.
The double bind.
Start right there. Oh, wow. So much to cover right there. I hope we have enough time for this show. Okay, so what does that sound like once again? You can't be close with your family. You can't be close. You're going to have your kids taken away from you by CPS. You teach them anything real in this world. You can be called an unfit parent when you know that you're not. You know, your phone calls are listened to. Oh, yeah, they know everything about you. They resent you either because they can't be you or they can't control you. So, okay, and yes, the fear put in between each other. Yeah, target individuals go through that with one another. Oh, if I help out this target individual, it's going to come back more on me. Or if I do this, you know, it's going to come back more on me because of the secret covert program the NSA has on people right now. Okay? They don't want us close. Can't be close with your neighbor. No. They had to come up, you know. The censorship on the internet is not enough. It's not enough. They have to come up with a plandemic to further distance us apart from each other. Because we are starting to awaken. It's the NSA's job to keep us ignorant. Ignorant and isolated. You know, divide and conquer. So now, you know, you're dying with the sickness and you can't talk to anybody. You know, supposed sickness, okay, whatever. That they can come up with any story that they want to, like they have been doing, these fake covert death certificates. They can come up with any story that they want to, right? Are you people seeing any of this? Can any of you relate to what's going on in your world right now? And it's not just the AI, the chatterbox that gets put into people's heads, okay? It's the AI, it's not just the AI, the people whom put this program onto us, they're even worse than the AIs. They're worse. Now, they're dumber, they're lazier. They can't talk 24/7. It's not humanly possible. So they create this AI network to do it. And of course, I mean, you can cover the entire world with it. You can talk to everybody. They can talk to everybody simultaneously if they want to, right now. It was their plan to do so with Operation Bluebeam, when they were going to fake, you know, a new god coming out of the sky. But that PSYOP got busted long before it could be launched, thank God. Okay, yeah, I'm sorry, let's keep going.
She then started telling people I was shunning my dying father. The double bind was complete. Damned if I contacted him, damned if I didn't. A few weeks later, my father died in a nursing home, reportedly still appeasing her anger. Every few months she writes to me, urging me to get back in contact, and blaming her dead husband for causing a rift between me and her. Double binds sometimes get played out on a larger scale by religious and political zealots. In 17th century England, people accused of witchcraft were faced with a terrifying double bind where both options led to death. Falsely confess to being a witch and die, or truthfully deny being a witch and die. Torture was illegal in England at the start of the witch hunts. Originally, the only method of physical coercion legally available to interrogators was sleep deprivation. This method was successful with the first person accused of witchcraft by professional witchfinder Matthew Hopkins. Elizabeth Clark confessed after being kept awake for 3 days. But a later target of Hopkins, a priest called John Lowes, tolerated sleep deprivation for many days. It was only at this point that torture was introduced illegally in a procedure called swimming the witch, where subjects could be repeatedly pushed to the edge of drowning based on the idea that water would repel witches. It was this torture that broke John Lowes, who confessed. With England in the middle of civil war, the increasing implementation of illegal torture went unchallenged, enabling one of the most notorious double binds in history. And it highlights a crucial point. Legal protections don't just safeguard our well-being in the broad sense. They also work to prevent innocent citizens being trapped in state-approved double binds. As our protections are eroded, we all become increasingly vulnerable to these no-win nightmares. Another example of this was McCarthyism. Named after one of its main advocates, Senator Joseph McCarthy, this American political witch hunt gained ground in the 1940s and 50s, seeking to expose and eradicate what it considered un-American elements. In 1947, a group of screenwriters and directors, who had come to be known as the Hollywood Ten, were subpoenaed to appear before the House Committee on Un-American Activities, chaired by Congressman J. Parnell Thomas. They were asked whether they were now or ever had been members of the American Communist Party, and about whether they'd attended certain political meetings. If they refused to answer, they could be jailed for contempt. If they answered yes, they'd be commanded to name others. If they refused, they could be jailed for contempt. If they answered no, they could be vulnerable to charges of perjury. Being subpoenaed by the House Committee meant they'd already been identified as communists by other informants who were granted immunity and couldn't be cross-examined. As one of the Hollywood Ten, Lester Cole, remarked, "Don't you see? These investigations are actually traps. You're damned if you do, and you're damned if you don't. It's a form of legal lynching." Like the English witch hunts, this political trap relied on the violation of legal protections, including constitutional rights to free speech, free association, and free conscience. Witnesses weren't summoned because they'd committed any crimes. They were jailed, ostracized, and rendered unemployable purely for exercising their rights under questioning. It was the House Committee on Un-American Activities that was attacking American values, redefining un-American. Okay.
Yeah, redefining un-American. So where have you heard that before, guys? Water torture. CIA? we've got people accused of things, not actually breaking any laws, who are in prison anyhow. What does that sound like? Okay? People harassed, pushed over the edge with the double bind. I mean, harassment nonstop. Just put yourself in a tiny 4x4 cell with that psychopathic little child. I need. Give it to me, I'll kill you. Imagine being in that tiny little cell with this little creature that you can't punch in the face. And that is who we're... There's nothing new underneath the sun, people. You heard everything. It's been repeated throughout history. Now it's just gotten more technological. Same thing's going on. Yes, chemtrail, nano, particles, material, nano material, particle, breaking your blood-brain barrier as you breathe it in, as you inject it into your body with these vaccines filled with nano aluminum. Okay? Turn your brain into a transceiver. Once you have breathed the air and taken the vaccines, you have entered into the mind network. Okay? That the NSA runs. Oh. Yes, yes, ladies and gentlemen, each and every one of you, you have a phone number to your head. Yes, you do. Now, you can stand up with me, and we'll go ahead and not just unsubscribe from their service, we'll just take the service down altogether. Okay? Because it ain't serving us. It's not. I've had enough of it. The only madness, the only insanity, the only mental health issues there are is the corrupt, inbred, psychopathic, ruling class families that still hold positions of authority in our society. It's time to clean out the Illumitards, people. It's time. Okay, so with that said, thank you guys for listening and to this special little presentation. And yeah, spread it around. I don't care what people think, because I know what I know. And you need to know too. So good night, everybody. Thank you.
Hello, I'm Dr. Leonard Horowitz. I was right 30 years ago in warning the world about threatening lab virus outbreaks, AIDS, and Ebola. I was right 20 years ago when FBI Director Robert Mueller made me a suspect in the anthrax mailings because I warned the Bureau before the CIA's biocrime and Cipro sales psyops happened. I was right about COVID-19 being an AIDS-laced mutagen planned to resurge this fall to excuse officials' profitable depopulation globalization agendas. And I was right about the only safeguards being antioxidants and holy spiritual sustenance. Vitamin C, D, zinc, chlorophyll, oxygen, and oxysilver especially transmits the frequency resonance to neutralize the expanded function bioweapon. Oxysilver is a double superconductor of the healing power of love. It is the first nutraceutical invented to amplify prayer power and the faithful loving intention of your heart. Buy, try, and stockpile oxysilver through HealthyWorldStore.com.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.